Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning talking Titans. And to help us do that, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman, host of Stillman & Company, that you can hear every single day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game from 2 to 6 p.m. on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared has also been labeled as the Titans assistant general manager by our very own Joe Rexrow. Jared, what's going on? How are we doing?
So Joe comes on every Wednesday at 5 o'clock for Jared versus Joe. So when I got a text message that Joe wanted me to come on the show today at 8 o'clock, I knew it was because he wanted to control the discussion for whatever he wants to discuss today.
What?
So I was totally convinced of that. And I said, sure, let's make it a double play. So I'm fantastic. Good to be up with you guys this morning. And I'm sure Joe wants to pin me down to have me map out the entire planet quarterback, since obviously he is not willing to take the time to think one through.
Yes, exactly. I'm just sitting on my butt while you're out there. You're just out there. You're going to the mattresses, Jared. You are out there finding a solution for the Titans. No, I'm not trying to control anything. I actually did miss your plan, and so I want to hear it. I mean, I want to hear if you have something beyond, I think, what a lot of people have said about the possibility of going to get Russ Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or drafting someone. What have you got?
So I think that you have to look at it. One, you've got to make the decision that you're done with Tannehill, right? Like that, you have to sit there. Like, and if John Robinson makes this decision, it's probably a one-person, at most two-person conversation. It's him and maybe Vrabel, right? Like, that's it. Like, you're not letting Monty Ossenford in on that or Ryan Cowden, because those guys might get general manager jobs.
Maybe Vrabel. Okay, I'm pretty sure he'll be in on this, but okay.
I don't think he would be, honestly. You know, I go back to, like, the Floyd and Jeff Fisher days, and, like, you know, Floyd told Jeff Fisher something like that, there's a pretty good chance somebody was going to be writing about it. And so I think that when you make a decision like this, like the decision in your head that you are – because this is essentially a divorce, right? Like, if you decide that you're done with Tannehill – you're eventually going to have to split up the house and the kids and parenting plans and all kinds of stuff. So I think that it's a decision like I made internally during the game Saturday night, which was I'm done with Tannehill. I think if Robinson makes that decision, then he's got different avenues that he can travel in order to kind of figure this out. So once you decide you're done with Tannehill, now you realize that, hey, I'm going to fix quarterback, and I'll do whatever it takes to fix quarterback because it's the most important position in the NFL. So now I think at that point, everything is on the table. I would hold back on A.J. Brown and Jeffrey Simmons. But everything else, like Jimmy Johnson said when he took over the Cowboys, every player on the roster he was willing to trade in order to make the Cowboys better. He ended up trading Herschel Walker. We know how that all worked out. So I think the Titans have to figure out how to get more. If you want to make a move for a big-time quarterback, which I think is probably either Russell Wilson, who I do think will get traded, or Derek Carr, and I don't know what the scenario with the Raiders is going to be with a new coach and a new general manager, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere. I don't think Green Bay is going to let Aaron Rodgers go anywhere. They're going to basically say, okay, Aaron, you got to retire. But so Russell Wilson is the one guy who I think will actually get moved, and there will be a bunch of suitors for him. So if you want to go that route, it's probably going to cost you 4 first-round picks. I heard Charles Robinson yesterday say 3 first-rounders for Russell, and I think that might be a little too high considering Stafford went for 2 last year, but I do think you will have to use another first-round pick after June 1st to get somebody to take Ryan Tannehill's contract. So after June 1st, you use a first. Let's say you want to go after Russell Wilson. You are totally committed to this. I think you then have to start shopping players on your roster that can get you first-round picks in return that aren't Simmons or aren't A.J. Brown. So you'd have to think, would Harold Landry, a tag and trade, would that get you picks in return? I think Byard is probably the player that I would go to and circle and say, okay, can I trade Kevin Byard and get the same 2 first-round picks that Seattle got in exchange for Jamal Adams? Because if I can, or gave up for Jamal Adams, because if I can, now I've got 4 first-round picks, and I can deal those picks to either move up and get a better pick for Seattle to then deal to them in order to get Russell, and I still have my first rounder to go and send to whomever to take on the Tannehill contract after June 1st and then release him. I think the second option the Titans have would be to draft a quarterback in this year's draft. You would probably need two first rounders, so you can use this year's first rounder and next year's first rounder, but you're probably going to have to move up into like the 15 range to get a Kenny Pickett or a Matt Corral. I don't know if any of those guys are good for college or good for the NFL or not. Trevor Maddich said on our show yesterday he likes Pickett the best. He thinks Carson Strong at Nevada is the most ready, and that he would like to see Corral sit a year on the bench. So maybe you do what you talked about, Joe, which is kind of going that Alex Smith route. And again, I have no idea how good those guys are. Neither do you. So I don't, you know, that's probably the second plan. And then the third plan, I guess, would be to bring in a backup to kind of compete with the job for Tannehill. And then if Tannehill starts crapping his pants next year, you can put that guy in like you did with Tannehill and Mariota. I mean, it's not like any of these decisions that you would make to move on from Tannehill are as appetizing as drafting Joe Burrow number one overall. But the Titans aren't in that position. And the Titans put themselves in this position by believing in Tannehill after the Ravens game last year more than they should have, and thinking that they were a 32-year-old injured receiver away from doing it. And so you have to pay the price to dig yourself out of the hole that you've dug, and that's where the Titans find themselves.
Okay, Jared, so I don't disagree with, like, if you're the Titans and you feel like you can upgrade at quarterback, you try to do it this offseason. Like, I'm totally with you there. I guess my question is, what happens if you get into a bidding? Like, if Russell Wilson's on the open market, Charles Robinson talked about it yesterday, there's going to be a bidding war for Russell Wilson. I guess how high are you willing to go in terms of your price for that? And if you're Seattle, what's your motivation to take on the contract for Ryan Tannehill? Like, I assume if you're getting rid of Russell Wilson, you're going to be looking for a new quarterback at that point. What's your motivation to make that Tannehill?
Sure, that's why I told you need four first-round picks, because I don't think Russell's going to go for three first-round picks. I know what Charles Robinson said, and I get it, and he's connected. I'm not questioning that. I think that's almost like, you know, the early stages of the negotiation. What would it take in order to get this guy? Oh, yeah, three first-round picks it would take to get Russell Wilson, and it's like, would it? I agree with you that there's going to be a bidding war. I went over in my head yesterday, and this is assuming that Tom Brady comes back, but I put out a list yesterday of all the teams that might have interest in Russell Wilson: Denver, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Washington, and then all the other teams that have starters but would like somebody better, like Miami, Cleveland, New Orleans, Houston, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Philadelphia, the Giants, Minnesota, Detroit. Like, there's a lot of teams that could get in the mix for Russell Wilson. So I think you would have to be prepared to deal three first-round picks. I think you'd want it to be two, like the Rams did with Stafford and Goff. I think if you're prepared for three first-round picks, that's why I look at Byard, because I think Byard's a better safety than Jamal Adams. And if you deal Byard, I think you'll get the same two first-round picks back. You brought up, would Seattle take on the Tannehill contract? If they're not willing to take on the Tannehill contract, even with all the first-round picks you have, that's why you have the fourth first-round pick, to get somebody else with cap space to take that Tannehill contract off your hands, give you the $9 million cap hit after June 1st, and then release Tannehill like the Cleveland Browns did with Brock Osweiler in 2017.
I mean, if you don't get a job with the Titans front office after this, Jared, I don't know what – I don't want to live in a world where you don't get a job with the Titans front office after
this. I hear you, Joe. I want to know what you actually think about that, though. No, not like the smart, like, oh, yeah, I mean, he's just beating GM right now. But, like, what do you actually think of that?
So you don't want me to make fun of you. You want me to be serious right now?
You see, this is my thing, is sometimes I feel like – because I listen to this show all the time. And
of course you do.
Sometimes I feel like, when you don't have a good rebuttal, you just start making side cracks. So I want to know, Joe, I want to know, what don't you like about that plan, which is better than, you could draft a quarterback, but just know you're not getting Mahomes.
You got it wrong, Jared. I make the side cracks regardless. That's complete MO. No, in all seriousness, I don't – look, this is absolutely better than just talking about mock drafts for the next few months. So, I mean, I think you've thought it out. That's well thought out, and I figured it would be. I would love to play everything you just said. I would love to play that in a room and have John Robinson and Mike Vrabel sitting in the room and just see what their reaction would be, you know. And maybe it would be laughter, and maybe it would be like, it's not, you know, I get it. I mean, look, I think that they absolutely need to do inquiries and exhaust every avenue. Do I think it's going to get to this where they would actually go down that road? I'd be really surprised. But I don't disagree that you've got to explore it. You got to evaluate every single guy in this draft class like you have the number one pick. And I think you have to make every call, look at every possibility, turn over every rock. And no, I don't hate your plan. I'm still going to stick with, in the end, I fully expect Ryan Tannehill to be the quarterback of the Titans next year. And that it probably wouldn't get to this, but I like it. I like it, Jared. I am not making fun of you whatsoever. And I'm you know what? Honestly, I think you could be a scout. You have to start at the scouting level.
Well, actually, one time on our trip to Indianapolis, I asked Floyd. It was me, Floyd, and Chase. And I asked Floyd, I was like, how long do you think it could take for me to start off at the bottom position at the NFL, like on an NFL team, and eventually become a positional coach? And he said probably 2.5 years. And so
you're still a young man, Jared.
I mean, you know, maybe this should be a fork in the road for your life. I will say this about the Titans and the quarterback situation. The real question is, what does John Robinson actually think of Ryan Tannehill? And not, you know, Vrabel went out there and he gave his kind of endorsement on Tannehill, the other day. But
elite toughness.
And I thought the thing that stood out was when he talked about he shows signs of accuracy. And I was talking about that with Caroline yesterday, and I go, you know, what does that mean, signs of accuracy? If I said you show signs of punctuality, doesn't that mean that you're late?
He shows signs of competence.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't. So I try to, you know, dissect everything or whatever. But ultimately, the way that we've been led to believe that the power system of the Titans works, the structure, is that Robinson makes the call. And Robinson doesn't talk much, and you know he's not going to talk much about this, but if he's decided what I decided Saturday, which is you cannot win with Ryan Tannehill, then I think your entire thought process of what you thought about your team completely changes. Like, to me, that's a monumental moment. I've always talked about a general manager or an athletic director in the box during a game when they realize they have to fire the coach. Like, there's no way out of this. I've got to make a move on a coach. My school, Louisville's firing their basketball coach today because about a month ago, I think we all realized, okay, this ain't going to work out. So if John Robinson has done that, then almost everything else about the team doesn't matter until he decides what he's willing to do at quarterback.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting. I don't think there's any question about that. Jared, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Looking forward to Jared versus Joe. Got a little early preview today.
Guys, I apologize for running over the break time. That's on me, so don't be upset about that one. My bad.
It's okay. That's all right. You show signs of understanding the clock, so that's what matters, Jared.
Yes, you do.
See you guys.
Thanks, Jared. We appreciate you. Jared Stillman here on the program. Obviously, you can catch him every day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game from 2 to 6 p.m. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Jared had to say there. Get a little bit deeper into the Tannehill conversation. Is everybody overreacting to Ryan Tannehill this week? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you. Thanks to Jared Stillman for joining us in his last segment. So there you heard it, Joe. Jared's laid out his plan at quarterback for the Titans. Maybe 4 first-round picks to get Russell Wilson.
All right.
In all seriousness, I am interested, like, how to his last point, how does John Robinson view Ryan Tannehill right now? I think that's very interesting. But also, I guess my follow-up to that would be, what are you willing to do to correct it? if you don't like the direction with Ryan Tannehill? Like, what's how high are you willing to go in terms of your price if you're John Robinson? That would be very interesting.
Yeah. Well, look, I think one thing that Jared's plan actually did very effectively there to me was lay out how Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback next year, because I mean, it's just that's
a lot.
That's treading into science fiction territory. I want to recall this correctly. Did he say two first round picks or one first round pick for Byard? He went to going up to four total. Did he say he thought that they could get two? Yeah, I mean, that's no.
I don't think so.
No. I understand
not that position.
I understand that bad trades with other safeties have been made before, but no. Yeah, so let's go. Also, now let's suspend disbelief for a minute and say you could do something like that. Let's say you can make that happen. So you got Russell Wilson in here. Obviously, you've mortgaged so much of your future, but you got Russell Wilson in here. You've also taken away, you know, a Pro Bowl safety in his prime, who is a big part of not just the defense, but also the locker and the leadership. And you've got Russell Wilson in here now, who certainly is an upgrade over Ryan Tannehill. But that's if you did all that stuff, you better win the Super Bowl, like, emphatically the next year, you know? But, I mean, look, I do agree with – I mean, I agree, like you, with the last point, like, what does John Robinson think? Did his mind change? Like, did John Robinson think one thing about Ryan Tannehill going into Saturday and then think another? Or is he saying, well, Westbrook Akina could have come back for the ball, Julio, yeah, that play wasn't great, you know? I mean, I'd love to know. And, yes, John Robinson's not tipping his hand, obviously. But I could definitely see Saturday being a mind changer for him. It was for me. I think it was for a lot of people. I really do. Yeah. There's plenty of people who have been bullish on Tannehill all season. I mean, more than me in the fan base, certainly, who, I don't know, man. I have not heard a lot of, and I know it's like fresh after the loss and everybody's still mad and sad and all that stuff, but I just haven't heard much defense of Tannehill, and I don't see how you could right now.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I've said this all week. Like, to me, if you're John Robinson, you owe it to your team and to the window that you're in right now to explore every option. So, like, if there's a chance that you could get Russell Wilson and you feel like that's a significant upgrade at quarterback, I think you've got to take a look at ways to do it. Now, does that mean it's ultimately going to work out? I don't know. Because, like, again, if you get into a bidding war, and I think Charles Robinson put it great yesterday here on our show, like, if Russell Wilson is available, there will be a bidding war. I mean, there are going to be multiple teams coming out of the woodwork to try and get Russell Wilson in there. So you could say you want Russell Wilson. That's fine. There are going to be a lot of teams that want Russell Wilson as well if they're available. So, you know, the four first-round picks thing, that's a heck of a price. But in terms of giving up and mortgaging your future, I mean, we're seeing pretty much the Rams do that right now, and it's working out okay for them so far. They're in the NFC title game.
Right.
It's a much different situation. I get it with Stafford and Wilson and Goff and all these different things. I understand that. I'm just saying, like, if you want to sell it as mortgaging your future, that's fine. But I think a lot of Titans fans would say, who cares about the future? This is our chance to win. Go for it.
Well, if the Titans could get Matthew Stafford for two first-round picks, then yes. You know, but what he laid out there for – I think a more coveted and certainly a more successful quarterback than Matt Stafford. Didn't you and I have a – did we have a Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford argument going into the year?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did.
And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, Russell Wilson is a more accomplished quarterback than Matthew Stafford. I think he would probably be more coveted. I don't know that he's more talented. Now, just pure arm talent. Now, granted, Russell Wilson can extend plays and do things that Matthew Stafford can't do. But think about the difference in price there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if Jared's right. I mean, to me, that is not warranted in the difference between those two quarterbacks. And I think, I got a lot more confidence saying that after what we just saw from Stafford last weekend, which to me was a – Basically the opposite kind of weekend for him than Tannehill. It was a fork in the road, and he kind of proved, yep, this is me, and Tannehill proved it the other way.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the quarterback position. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning. We got some tickets to give away to see the Predators take on the Vancouver Canucks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on February the 1st. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on Vancouver coming up at Bridgestone Arena on February the 1st. So hit up our phone line, 615-737-1025. Let's go back to the text line. Got a lot of texts rolling in about Ryan Tannehill and the quarterback situation for the Titans. Adam in Portland texting in says, "What's frustrating is that Jared keeps saying Tannehill sucks and can't do it, but brings no solution to the table. Don't tell me to draft someone when our window to win is now. No one will take Tannehill at his price tag, and Corral and Pickett could easily be Gabbert / Locker 2.0. Just get him a tight end and draft a kicker and be done. Pay the dudes we have here. If you have any other solutions, I'm all ears, but we don't need to start over. That's dumb." First off, let's chill with the draft a kicker stuff. That's disrespectful to Randy Bullock, and I won't tolerate it on the show.
Well, it did work out for the Bengals.
It did.
Going from
that's pretty good.
Yeah, they're happy with their change at kicker.
Yeah, apparently he's got the most confident kicker in the history of the NFL kicking for the Bengals.
So tell you what, but there was no doubt, man. Every time he went out there Saturday, so it's interesting to frame it that way. Like Jared, I mean, I think Jared would flip it around on you and say, "No, I'm trying to." You know, I'm trying to address the biggest issue. The problem, again, I don't think that Jared's scenario will, in reality, come close to materializing. I don't think so. I'm also the same person who, early on last year when the Julio thing, I was that like a, was that not a Rex rant? Like, it's not happening. Stop talking about Julio Jones. And then, like, a month later, it
was a Rex rant.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, hey, you gotta take the good, take the bad. But I don't think so. So I think you're probably right. Like you have to think in terms of what Vrabel said the other day. We have to be great around him, because that's just the more likely path. And just hoping that Ryan Tannehill responds to that performance by playing the best football of his life, especially in the next playoff game. I know that, like, feeling good about that right now has got to be darn near impossible unless you are related to him. But I think that's just the most realistic path forward for the Titans, is to try to do something that can get him back to playing the way he did in 2019 and 2020. And then again, it'll still be, even if he does, even if he exceeds it, then we'll all still be like, okay, let's see how you do in the playoff game.
Well, look, there's no question the reaction this week from Titans fans has overwhelmingly been, at least from the reaction that we've seen on social media and on the text line, it's overwhelmingly been, man, Tannehill, you just can't win with that guy. Like, it's been a rough week for Ryan Tannehill among Titans fans. Now, we have had some that have said, all right, guys, do we really want to do this? Like, look at the quarterbacks the Titans have had before Tannehill and look at Ryan Tannehill's record. Do you really want to get back into quarterback carousel of searching for something to work here? I haven't seen a lot of it, but I have seen some of it. Is there any chance in your mind that Titans fans could be overreacting to this one game, this one performance on Saturday? I say no, because to me it's not one game. It's really a a trend at this point from the Baltimore game last year until now. Did he have some good moments this year in the regular season? Heck yeah, he did. He played well in some games, and that's why I was confident heading into the playoff game. I thought the last 10 quarters of the regular season, it looked pretty darn good. The offensive line looked better, and his weapons were there. But the playoff game was just, I mean, it was like letting the air out of the balloon. That first interception let the air out of the balloon of the entire stadium. So I don't think it is an overreaction. There are some Titans fans, though, that I've seen on our text line this week that say, really, are we really going to just blow this whole thing up with Tannehill based off this one performance?
Yeah, well, and that's fine. You know, certainly welcome to that opinion. And it's probably something that a lot of people are going to have to eventually embrace. But I don't think it's an overreaction. And I think the reaction is also related to, like, again, the next day, you saw the other AFC game. And you're like, so this is what they have, and this is what this team just went through with its quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I think that amplifies everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that you had – not that anyone was ever saying, boy, Tannehill's got to get to that Mahomes, Josh Allen level. But, look, a year ago, let's remember this. I mean, in 2020, it was a big debate. And I know you people can laugh right now and say, nah, but it was. Josh Allen or Ryan Tannehill is a Pro Bowl quarterback. Like, who had a better year? Who's better? Now, look, at that point, you knew Josh Allen was much younger, and he was on the ascent without question. But it was debatable then, okay? And now, look at this last weekend and compare Ryan Tannehill and Josh Allen. It's like you're talking about two different species. I mean, that's part of it, too. Is the sobering reality, yes, you can get to and even win a Super Bowl without having a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. You still can. There's too many examples. We've gone over them time and time again. Nick Foles playing out of his mind, but Nick Foles, Jimmy G, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Peyton Manning at the end of his career. It's possible. It's very unlikely. But again, it's also like, you can do that with, like, Trent Dilfer. I know you're going back, but, like, for example, Trent Dilfer not making the killer mistake. And that's the thing. When you get to now, it's not just like you're not doing enough. You are losing the game.
That's the thing. Like, if Tannehill doesn't turn the ball over on Saturday, regardless if he makes the big throws or not, if he just doesn't turn the ball over, Titans probably win that game. I mean, that's what it is. They probably win that game. So, You just can't have that moving forward. Kelton on the text line says, we always used to say Peyton Manning couldn't get it done in the playoffs, and he was way better than Tannehill. Just keep getting to the playoffs and pray. This is coming from Kelton on the text line. Says, you know, there used to be the story on Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Well, again, it's
what
like –
do you think of that one?
Well, there was some comments on my columns, or one of them, that was like, okay, well – Aaron Rodgers just did the same thing. So what do you say about that? And it's like, yeah, this is, but Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you know, some quarterbacks, all-time great quarterbacks. I know people don't want to acknowledge this. Like, Tom Brady's had some bad playoff performances. He has.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning did. Aaron Rodgers just did. But there's still Brady, Rodgers, Manning, and also, by the way, all of them, you know, won rings. So. Yeah. And Rodgers has one. He should probably have more. But, I mean, I'm sorry, but that, like, there's just such a difference. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who can carry a team. Very few quarterbacks can.
Chris on the text line says, every game last weekend was 1 to 2 plays away from the other team winning. The margins are razor thin in the playoff. The quarterback is the low-hanging fruit for the Titans, but there are other things to consider that helps explain Vrabel's press conference responses. Not a Tannehill sunshine blower. Just an observation that's coming from Chris on the text line.
Yeah, and I understand, like, okay, you're just going to totally boil it down to the quarterback. Okay, I get that. There are other things. There was some bad special team stuff. Hey, you can't let Jamar Chase immediately come out and twist you around and get wide open so that they can kick the winning field goal. You know, Joe Mixon, right, you know, you had, I guess, a miscommunication is what guys were saying. On his touchdown run. I think Fulton fell down on that play. But, okay, fine, there's other things. But, I mean, this one I think is pretty simple, okay? I mean, all that, all those things taken into account. Also take into account 9 sacks from your defense and all of the great plays they made. And the points that Ryan Tannehill specifically delivered to the Bengals. He gave them, you know, he gave them the first 3. Here you go. Defense made sure it was only 3. And then, of course, he gave them the last 3 to win the game. It's, I'm sorry, but, like, that's what it was. That was the story of the game.
Yep. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, Joe says finding an elite quarterback is so hard and we should be grateful we don't stink. Yay, winning seasons. Keep Ryan because making the playoffs is good enough. Love you, though. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon.
Heidi's misquoting me. How often does Heidi misquote me? That's a total misquote.
I'm just telling you what she said.
Is she right?
I don't think so.
Why don't you defend me one time ever?
Well, God. I'm not going to defend you because you laughed at her, and now she's getting her recompense for that.
Well, okay. She's if I said that, and you say I did say that, right? You back her up on that.
No.
No, you back her up on the other one about the pass rush, right?
Oh, yeah. You
well, that's fine.
I said it, too.
Yeah, okay.
Robbie's like, Joe said it, and I was sitting there and kind of agreed.
Right,
well, there's no kinda.
But this thing that she just said, that is not, no. Heidi, you think now you can just throw anything out there and I'll just be like, oh, I don't remember very well. Maybe I did say that.
Damn, Heidi, here's the thing. You just got to remember and bring it up a couple months down the road and then Joe probably won't. Yeah.
Then I'll probably be like, oh, really?
Is that what I said?
I said Khalif Raymond should be this team's number one receiver. Gosh, okay, I guess I did.
We'll continue the conversation on Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Preds have a weekday game this season. It's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be joined by Adam Vinken from The Athletic at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators. Another big win for the Preds last night in Seattle. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in says, another play we haven't talked about: on the first field goal, the Bengals got a delay of game penalty that saved them 15 yards from having a sack on third down versus getting 10 yards on the next third down play. That sack borderline pushes them out of field goal range. Then the too many men on the field penalty led to the Titans unsuccessfully going for two. Who would have thought two penalties against the Bengals would have helped them win that game? That is a great point brought up by Chris.
That is it. But also there were two false starts by them that weren't called, which was really bizarre. One of them was like you know how sometimes it's like almost simultaneous with a snap. It's just a little, but one of them, I think, was the right tackle. Like, dude, come on. How could you miss that one? And I believe that they converted on that.
It's like the officials were like, okay, we'll give them a break because they're just getting their butts kicked over and over again on the line. We'll just let them jump early. I don't know. That was really, really strange. Kevin in Nashville texting in says, the realistic thing to happen is everyone now realizes that the game plan should be to make Tannehill a game manager and more of a runner as well. We've seen that a lot this week on the text line of Titans fan complaining that they didn't use Tannehill in the running game enough and use his legs. Do you buy into that should be more of a plan for the Titans as they move forward?
No, not really. I mean, it's fine. I mean, he can run and it's a weapon to use here and there. Again, look, as Vrabel pointed out after the game, asked him about, you know, I just wanted to clarify that was, you know, a read. I mean, it looked like it, but you just want to clarify. Want to make sure he had the option to hand that off to Derrick Henry, and Vrabel did. And Vrabel also pointed out that's a play that's had a lot of success for us. And he's right. I mean, that whenever they sprinkle that in, I would say the success rate of that has been pretty good over the years, last couple of years.
Yeah.
Typically, it's because Tannehill correctly reads the edge crashing in, and then he has a lot of room to run. I mean, that was the TD at Green Bay. Was that not a read option keeper?
Yep.
At Green Bay, I believe it was. Yeah, you can use it here and there, but that's not going to become like some steady. It's not like all of a sudden they're going to turn their offense into Baltimore's or something. I mean, he's not, you know, he's effective in that way. I mean, but I think you're on the right track, which to me, if you want to talk about realistic solutions to this, one of them is that Todd Downing has a much better year. And Todd Downing and Ryan Tannehill together have a partnership that is much more effective and you know, gets the most out of him. It's not going to guarantee, it's not going to change, you know, that the pressure would be incredibly high and the skepticism incredibly high for a postseason game next year, which we would expect the Titans to have. If they don't get to that, well, then, you know, the window's closed and you have to start over. But can you get Ryan Tannehill to play like he did in 2019 and 2020? I mean, Arthur Smith was the OC. Arthur Smith was also the OC in the playoff game where Tannehill and the whole offense was bad, by the way. But Todd Downing, there's a lot on him to figure this out because obviously he's coming back.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Crazy Billing, who wants to talk Titans. Thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road. What's going on?
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate your insight. How about this? Tom Brady's going to retire. Why don't we just see if we can lure him over here with Mr. Vrabel? And I'm sure Tom could be a great quarterback coach and also be one heck of an offensive coordinator. Just a thought. I know that's tons of money, but you never know what somebody can do with a phone call. And by the way, three times, look at the turnovers. It's not going to be any better, man. You know, the definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing over and over and expect different results, and we're not going to get them. I'm out. Okay. Thank y'all.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. What do you think of that, Rex Road? Just let Brady retire. Tell Vrabel to pick up the phone, get Todd Downing out, bring Brady in as the offensive coordinator / quarterback coach, and then who knows? You get in a bind? Maybe he'd take a few snaps for you. What do you think of that? You know, 2 years ago, we were talking about Brady being the quarterback. Now he can be the OC.
Player coach. How about a little player coach action? Well, it could be like, you know, this franchise has a history of George Blanda I think it was more at the Raiders that he was both the kicker and quarterback, and then he kind of transitioned to just kicker. But they did have George Blanda in our organization, multiple roles. You can't laugh at that just because Vrabel is an example of a guy who you wouldn't have expected to want to get into coaching because he had such a successful playing career. But let me promise you something. Tom Brady will never be a quarterback coach or offensive coordinator in his life. Tom Brady will buy an island. Or will Tom Brady maybe at some point look to get into ownership / GMing? Maybe there. Maybe. He will not be in the coaching grind. That Vrabel is a special breed of guy who made as much money as he did and still wants to grind film at 2 a.m.
I got to tell you, I thought that call was going to be like Brady's going to retire, like lure him out of retirement and make him quarterback of the Titans.
Right, right.
I did not expect it to go to OC. But hey, I've never thought about that.
I don't know, man. I would, if I lured him out of retirement, I'd be like, hey, why don't you – hey, show Ryan how to throw that pass. Wait, Tom, why don't you take a few reps? Let's see how that looks.
He could do both, coach and be QB1. You know, I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. And, I mean, actually, maybe Tom and Jared could both also be deputy GMs.
Together. And host a radio show together.
Oh, yeah. With Kaharsky. We've got a great plan coming together here.
Will from Nashville texting in says, it's not an overreaction on Tannehill. I think we have to accept that his 2020 season was an aberration. It's not who he is. It's just like Wentz in 2017. The parallels are striking. This is coming from Will from Nashville on the text line. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Well, again, 2020 and 2019. So it is two seasons. They were his best two seasons. He was not dog water in Miami. He had some good seasons. We've talked about that too. And the thing with Miami is there's no track record of playoffs because they didn't get there. Now, they got there the 1 year. His best season was 2016. That was good enough to get them into the playoffs, but then he was hurt, and it was Nat Moore playing in the playoffs instead of Tannehill. But he never had a chance to, you know, to rise to the occasion in the pressure moment with the Dolphins. I think I would have to somewhat agree that right now, 2019 and 2020, look more like the exception than the rule, Ryan Tannehill. But even if they're the rule, is it that he, in the pressure moments, can't rise to them? I mean, the last two times out are the big green check marks on that question.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, 2020, he had a great year, and then the playoff game came around, and he wasn't good. So, you know, to what we were talking about earlier, like Tannehill could go out next year and throw for 33 touchdowns and 7 picks or whatever it looked like a couple of years ago. But the question at this point with him is still going to be, all right, well, when you get into the wild card game or the divisional game, whatever, can you step up and make plays and play your best football when your team needs it the most? Like that, from his time on out here with the Titans, that's going to be what the question is for him. And hard to feel confident about that right now. Going back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, got a texter that says, people keep saying Tannehill just doesn't need to make a mistake, but it's not making the mistake for 3 or 4 games in a row to win a Super Bowl. Can he do that against progressively better teams?
Yeah.
It's coming from a texter.
That's a great way to put it because, yes. I mean, honestly, like, could Tannehill have a really good year next year? Sure. They could do some things around him. As Vrabel said, got to be great around him. He's preparing for what they need to do. What their realistic path is to be as good around him as possible. Okay? What if they do that? They hit on some draft picks and they short, you know, tight ends better, O-lines better, you know, which will be tough to do, by the way. But let's say they do all that. Tannehill could have a really good year. And honestly, Tannehill could win a playoff game. He's won 2 playoff games. He didn't do it by throwing all over the field. He made red zone throws. He could win one. Can he win you a few in a row? I mean, again, could they win a few in a row with him? That's really the question.
Yeah.
And the only way you answer yes is if they are just incredible around him. But that's still, I'm sorry, hate to say it, but that's still the more realistic possibility here, the more realistic path than figuring out you're done with him and here's the things we're going to do to get the sure thing upgrade over him. Like Jared mentioned Derek Carr. Are you confident like Derek Carr is an absolute no question upgrade over him and like now all of a sudden you can make those runs?
Well, if they both have the same season they had this year, yeah, I'm confident that Derek Carr is a better quarterback. Do I think you can win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr? I don't know.
Is about right.
Yeah. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got way more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.